accession number 28896, reel 22.
Mr. Blewitt, reel 22. You were talking about these items of that you kind of purloined and took. Was it widespread, that kind of thing?
Well, put it this way, that our lads had first pick, and we never went short if we could help it. We didn't think we were stealing from anybody. We just thought we deserved what we were getting. And as it happened, when I went back, I dropped my load and then went back to where the cellar was, in the car park. And I nipped down to my Corporal Hill, from London bloke. And I said, we've got somebody here. I said, go and dig a hole up in the car park, which he did. Wrap this bottle up in the gas cape, anybody's gas cape. Like, never thought we were going to use the gas capes anyway. It was just, if we used them, it was only if it was raining. Put it in the hole, come back. So anyway, that was all right. When I finished my shift, we went, these beer bottles, what I was saying, we used to get a little, it was like a little Lowcox lemonade bottle, about this big. So I got about half a dozen of these empty bottles, and went up to the, and filled, well, half filled them with water, with whatnot. Tasted, nearly took your head off, even with just water. So, we said, well, we'll leave that as it is. It was all hush hush, just our little section, which was about a dozen of us. And went up to the Yanks' place. Like a quartermaster. So I took a bottle of this stuff up, went up, and just, you know, what you doing? You know, quartermaster sergeant round anywhere. Oh, he's in there. Tents, they were in tents. And what can I do for you? I said, I think it's what I can do for you. And I just put the bottle. He looked at it and he said, what is that? I said, tight. I said, is that what I think it is? I said, yeah. It's rim, navy rum. And he poured a little bit into his. Oh, God, he said, that's lovely, that. So he said, are you wanting to sell it? I said, no. I said, I want to trade. What do you want? I said, well, I said, I could do with a few them little beds. I had my little Canadian bed. That seemed to miraculously keep there. And my mate kept his eye on it. But these other little beds were about this size, like a hospital bed. I said, I could do with a few of them. How many do you want? Oh, half a dozen. Half a dozen. Anything else? I said, I thought I'll just keep going as far as I could. Like, so I said, yeah. I said, them little Yankee coat, them coats you have, little, like a half coat, jeep coats we call them. I said, I could do with a couple of them. So he said, all right. I said, well, I said, I'm not being greedy. I said, I'll take what you can, four, two, four. Oh, yeah, yeah. I said, I'll come back with some more stuff. Well, it's just like opening the door of Aladdin's cave, whatever you wanted. So we finished up with all sorts. We just kept taking these bottles. We had some for ourselves. But I was never a spirit man, but you acquired a taste for it after a bit. And we finished up. I got the. In them days, there was. Before the ratchet spanners come out, we just open ended spanners on ours. And this corporal we had, he was a fitter in Simi Street. And he said, see if you can get a. He knew the Adam, so I got him a box with these spanners in, all, you know, different sizes and all the rest. I took that. Oh, he was happy as a pig and shit then. He was quite happy. Give him that. And the bed. And I had four mates. Well, there was me and three more. So we had beds. In fact, at the finish, there was about eight of us down this cellar, eight or ten, and we all had beds. I got beds for everybody. And whatever the fancied, we had American boots and socks. Well, not so much the socks, because our socks, like these, they were good. The Yankee socks were like thin cotton stuff, and they weren't as good as ours. That was about the only thing I thought we had better than them. And various other things that this quartermaster, I could have had anything, as long as he was getting his spirits in, like. So we left him with about four or five of these bottles. And then we had our shelter shared out, and then eventually we let them one or two more in there until they got disappeared. But
did you have any problem with drunkenness then,
Ben? No. It wasn't a problem. I always remembered we were coming back from the beach, and there was a corporal. The corporal, Peter Raby, and he was a duty corporal for the, you know, sending them out and fetching them back. And he was a good friend, so we'd give him one of these. So you know what they are, take your time with them. And when I come back from the ships, I could swear that I could see his eyes glint. And he wasn't drunk, but he was quite happy, you know, quite happy to be doing his stint on the beach. So I never say no. We didn't see any drunkenness as such, not in our lot, not while they were on duty. They'd let their hair a bit down if they were on the 8 hours off, but.
No. Were there any civilians still in the beach?
No, there was no civilians at all. They'd all been cleared out when it started. I think they were given the option that I think everybody in Naples knew where they were going, and they'd cleared them. They evacuated them all. There was no civilians at all.
So you got there on the day, and then I think you said the second day you were given your first duties. What were your duties? What were you doing?
Well, that was it. You took over from the lad who was. They were doing eight on and eight off at the time, and when he finished, you would have to be there ready. No dallying and hanging on for an hour or so. You had to be there ready, just change over. And you just took over. He might come in with a full load, so he took that up to the dump and then just went back down, got in the queue. There was always a queue on down this like coast road. There was a coast road, but this was off the road, just down towards the beach, and. Just carried on going out there. Just doing.
And who was controlling the vehicles? Obviously, you say you got into.
Yeah, well, we had an officer. There was an officer and an NCO down there.
Well, they would tell you which ship to go to, etc.
Yeah, yeah. They'd say go to so and so. Yeah. They'd tell you which ship to go to. It was just like I say. If you went to a ship, you didn't know which hold you were going into. You just had to do that by word of mouth with the lads. Where so and so, what's that and what's that? So you just have to. But they were there to tell you which ship to go to.
How stable were the ducks? Did they capsize easily under shelling, or, you know, where the wind?
Well, we didn't used to have to go out if it was really rough, the sea, you know, that more or less stay down the road until it had calmed down a bit. But when they were under fire, well, you used to just get a. The wave, they were very, actually, they were quite stable. Even when if you got a shell dropped, say, 10 yards off you, which sounds a lot, but what water it was, it used to just rock them. But they never capsized. They were a great thing, I was quite happy with them. I thought, when you looked at the infantry lads, you know, and you think, well, they can't do anything. At least we'd get out the road now and again, even if it was just up the road. But I thought they were a great machine.
How long were you in that position?
On the beachhead at Anzio, I think it would be about, I'm not quite sure, I think it was about 4 months. But of course, I wasn't there at the start. It was been about a week or so after it started, but about 4 months, 3 or 4 months.
What happened to you then after?
Well,
it would be the breakout in effect, wouldn't it?
There was a breakout, yes. And when the forward, they were away, and it seemed as though the Yanks, all they wanted to do was to be first into Rome. And apparently there was a bit of rivalry on who was on there. But we were quite happy to just hang on and told, well, in fact, they started a football competition, the Anzio Cup competition, to put your time in. You know, I said, put your time in. We were still taking loads in, and we had actually had a football competition, which we won, by the way. The Duck Company won it. I have that somewhere, I don't know. I'll have to show you it. Got presented with this cup by the officer who was in charge of the British. There was all these, the Royal West Kents, Pioneer Corps, Navies, Ordnance, Red Caps, there was all these companies put a team in. And when we get to Rome, there will be replicas for the team, which we are still waiting on. But we got so far up, and the idea was, we thought, oh, we're going into Rome, great, wandering heroes, but we just went straight through or on the outskirts. We saw a bit of it, not a lot. We had to keep on going. We went to a place called City Cevecchia. We used to call it Czechoslovakia, but it was City Cevecchia, which was still again on the coast. And to resume our normal backwards and forwards off the ships. Anywhere where there wasn't a port, we used to get stuck there until they got the port operations going. Plus the fact, when we got to City Cevecchia, they started running a wagon into Rome. I think it was about 10 of us at a time, like a day pass into Rome, because it was there wasn't supposed to be a military in there anywhere. It was, you know, open city.
And you recall your visit to Rome?
Oh, yeah. When we first got in, everybody wanted to go straight to St. Peter's, you know. And when we got there, made one or two inquiries. I wasn't in the first batch, so whoever was there, they'd found out about. So we went into St. Peter's, which was quite a sight. But then again, a lot of the lads were more interested in the senior arenas that were floating about, and there was plenty of them. But of course, there was the Yanks. They'd been in. Well, they were still. They always managed to put themselves situated where any women or anything like that was. Or, but again, we were getting second helpings. They used to get. There was. I must say there was quite a bit of fraternising going on then, because, like I say, the Italians had packed up by then.
Were they very friendly towards you then?
Oh, yes, I thought were. Especially the Yanks there, because the Yanks had all sorts to give them, and the money. We were poor relations, but yes, they were quite happy to see us then.
Did this annoy you, the fact that they had this money? Sorry? Did this annoy you, the fact that the Americans...
Yes, so it did. It was a bone of discontent with them. They used to say before, it's the same war, and they always seemed to have a load more money than what we had. We were still on our 14 shillings a week, you know, which was 10 and 6 we got, because they used to send 3 and 6 home to my mother. And 10 and 6 a week, which didn't go very far. They always seemed to have loads of money.
This caused problems when you met them, was the fisticuffs or whatever?
Well, there was one or two. You used to have to bite your tongue sometimes, like, oh, you limeys and all this business, throwing the money about. Where we were having to count our pennies. I never actually... I heard about one or two Barneys with the between the Americans and the lads, but not too much. They weren't. I always got on all right with them. Plus the fact that towards the end at Anzio, they had a mobile bath unit, which they allowed us to use. So we just as well, because our little bath had been blown up by that time.
And you just had the day in Rome. You were just in the day, one day in Rome.
Yes, we did it with one day, and then we had to go back. But eventually, they set up a leave camp, and one of my mates, he got himself. I don't know how well he managed it, but he got himself a job on the. It was outside Rome, but he got himself a job like on the camp duties. I did get, how many days? 3 or 4 days, I think we got. They were shared out, you know, out of the hat. And you couldn't pick who you went with then, like you're just out of the hat, and if you come out, that was it. And we went. I was with a lad called Georgie Cutting, who you may or may not have heard about from Hazel. And he was a big, smart, good-looking bloke. I was a bit of a weed compared to him, you know. And he was I was with him for 3 days, and we only spent one night in the camp. We spent the rest with whoever we could get with. I was young and single, of course, then.
That was with the ladies, was it?
The ladies, yeah.
What was the camp conditions like in this camp that you're in?
It was a tented thing. More or less tented, one or two. It was all right, but for some reason we'd had the tents, you know. I think they had something in the tent. There was quite a few buildings there which you could sleep in, but like I said, we just went in, dumped our stuff the first day. We said that had a lorry going backwards and forwards into Rome. And we come back and slept that night in the camp. Now, I think we had 3 nights where we slept outside. They had a big, like a nappy, in the centre of Rome, and they had a band playing. It was a big restaurant, massive, maybe about 5 or 6 flights, stories, you know. Waiters coming round, quite good food as well, and then this must have been about 8-piece band playing. Used to always make me laugh. The chopper was conducting. He had it real proper. His hair back and he's conducting away and his hair all over, taking the applause like from. We were shouting down our request when they were playing any. We were shouting, "Don't you know any Glenn Miller?"
This was more classical style music, was it?
Oh, yeah. So we had our 3 or 4 days. Leave.
Were you again warned about the disease possibilities?
Or? Oh, well, they used to say that by this time you knew the ins and outs, and if you were stupid enough to go with anybody that looked, there was plenty of prostitutes and things hanging about. It was a big when we used to go around the Colosseum, looking. And there was troops from all over the world. They seemed to go on like a leaves. And there was all sorts. But, around the Colosseum, there were quite a few prostitutes. Cheap ones. Though the ones you avoided. And you went looking farther afield, and there was quite a few. Used to ride around in these awesome little garries, displaying the favours, crossing the legs and whatnot, and for a small consideration you could go with them. Oh yeah. There was I always remember, it stuck in my mind, there was an American, Tony Youngblood, and he was talking to this young Italian girl. And the priests, that was another thing, the priests used to be going amongst them, trying to dissuade them from going with soldiers, you know. But they used to take hardly any notice of them. When I'm saying priests, there was these young priests, curates and whatnot. And we got stuck near a hotel. We didn't know at the time, but there was a hotel there. It just catered for soldiers and prostitutes. That's all they did. They didn't have it as have using as a hotel.
Just brothel.
They were just used after. Of course, these prostitutes knew, and they'd just say, "Oh, we know a place, and take you to this hotel and use it there." I can't remember now. Say 100 lira to the this like bloke manager for the room for about 10 minutes. Go down, that was it, and pay when you come back. And this bloke, he was with this. And apparently this hotel was full. And he says to me, if I have to stay. And she was a lovely looking girl, this one. And he said, if I have to stay till 12 o'clock tonight, he said, I aren't going until I've been in there with her. It was rather amusing.
Were there any more permanent relationships that struck between yourselves and Italian?
Well, not... not as far as I knew then, but funny enough, when after the war was finished and we had these reunions, there was two of our, one was a sergeant and the other one was a corporal, I think, and they had married two Italians and they brought them to the reunion. I think they only brought them the once, I think. Apparently the had met them somewhere and they just decided they would get married. They'd got married after the war, of course, not then and then. They waited till the war was finished, then he went back and...
Oh, and you were just carrying out the usual duties at Civitavecchia.
Yeah. It was... there was, while we were there, we're in this car park we were in, let's say the car park, where the ducks used to put them. And there was a big prisoner of war camp. Well, a big, not a big one, I would suppose it'd be about the length of a football field. American prisoner of war camp. And it just, all it had on round was barbed wire. It had been hastily put up. Just like you see him on the television with his sentry boxes at the fore end. It was just American, purely American. And
these for Americans, German prisoners of the Americans?
American prisoners, like deserters and people that had been found guilty of different things. One had shot his officer, and quite proud of it he was, because we used to feel a bit sympathy with him, really, in some, which I maybe shouldn't have done, but you know, they'd be shouting, "Any cigarettes?" So if we had cigarettes, and the guards didn't like it. They said, "You don't want to give them out, you know. Scum, this lot." You know, they were waiting to get transported back to America to go to jails over there, prisons over there. I forget what the name of the prison was they were so fond of saying about. And they were going back to face maybe about 5 or 10 years in jail. Deserters, rapists, like I say, one or two murderers there were. And they were all just there in the camp. If any air raids, which there was at that time, if there's any air raids come over, well, they just, that was it. Nobody bothered about them. They just had to dig little holes in the ground to get in. There was, the sentries used to move out the road, but they were just there on their own, in the open.
So how long were you there?
We were there about 5 or 6 weeks, I would think. Not very long, because we moved from there across the country to the other coast, where we got on. It was very cold, I remember. Bitterly cold. Not like this. We were going digging out there was a working parties every day going up the railway lines, digging the sleepers up, taking them off the lines and taking sleepers up back to the camp. And there was a working party on sawing the logs up. We were in a big house then, but
and what were you doing there?
Well, mostly keeping warm. We didn't do any work. We just it was more or less in a lull. They didn't know what to do with us, and that was the time when they come and they said, we're splitting up again. We're going on tanks. Half of you are going on tanks. They wanted volunteers to go on these amphibious tanks, the buffalo tanks, they called them. And that was another big debate. I just forget how many. But they wanted volunteers. Again, kept shum. But one of my friends, Clarkson, he was away on a 48-hour pass up at Rimini. And his name come out the hat. And two more of my friends, the lad from Newport, Siddle, and Frankie Winder, and they come out of the hat. And there was a lad called Geordie Graham. They were cousins, I think, from Newcastle. And one of them got pulled out of the hat. And so I, seeing my mates were going, I went into the officer and swapped. I said, I'll go instead of Geordie Graham. Oh.